If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is proud to be part of the Osiris Podcasting family, a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans like you with conversation, commentary, and music. For more, visit osirispod.com. The show starts now.
Thank you. slips away.
You've been listening to a live performance of Realize Your Light, a track from the Aqueous album, Color Wheel, taken from a November 2nd, 2018 show in Washington, D.C., and part of the Elements 3 compilation featuring songs from Color Wheel Tour. Back in September of last year, we sat down with Mike and Dave from Aqueous on episode 134 to talk about their album, Color Wheel. It was their first in many years, and they were both really excited about their work on the record and were eager to go out and play their new material. Some 6 months later, they released a live compendium of the Color Wheel Tour as part of the Element compilation series. While live shows have been always available through Nugs.net, this third volume of Elements showcases fan favorites and their own choice cuts from that Color Wheel Tour. We caught up with Mike Ganser on the road to talk about the release of Element 3, the Color Wheel Tour, and much more. Our conversation started when I asked what made Color Wheel and the tour that followed so important.
I think for us, you know, making a full-length record like that was something that we had wanted to do for a really long time. And for us, having not played much of that music out at all before the record came out, there was a ton of anticipation on our end, like as a band, to play these songs. Like, as soon as I think it's natural for any musician to gravitate towards, you know, writing new things and being excited by the newness. And for us to withhold that stuff on the road, you know, while the stuff, you know, either already existed or was being written, was really hard. So when we had the opportunity to go out and tour and actually finally play these songs, it was so exciting. And I think it lit a new fire in a lot of aspects of our improvisation and aspects of how the show was flowing. I think that people were responding to, you know, our the band just being totally thrilled to be playing a lot of this new music. And I feel like it even sort of revamped some of the older tunes too. Like, there's just a new energy that was kind of flowing throughout the whole tour.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I mean, did the new music kind of invigorate you guys more generally? And do you think it also invigorated the fan base more generally to be able to hear new songs and see that you guys were, like, really playing hard at that point?
Absolutely, I think it did, you know. I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, improvisation, you know, within songs every night. It's one thing, but, you know, after a while, you know, you kind of, it's easy to get comfortable kind of gravitating towards similar places within songs you've played a bunch of times. So sometimes, you know, on one end, you work hard to you know, not let that happen. But when you put a new song in the mix and you decide to improvise, like maybe for the first time ever in one of those new songs, like, anything can happen. It's sort of a wide open canvas in front of you. And I think that was the case with a lot of these new songs. It was a lot of fun.
The compilation Element Part 3, the Color Wheel Tour, features, I think, by my count, only three songs from Color Wheel. Realize Your Light, Mandela Effect, and Split the Difference. Was it difficult for you guys to figure out what you wanted to put on this compilation, realizing that you were building it as the Color Wheel Tour live compilation?
No, I think that there was a couple of factors that went into that decision. I mean, we wanted to, obviously, with it being the Color Wheel Tour and that being the theme, you know, obviously it was important to include at least a few tracks from the record, you know, and then in turn from the tour. But we also wanted to consider what was the previous releases. And another thing that's interesting with the series, the Element series, is every time we do them, we kind of consult with our fans about what some of their favorite moments from the tour were. And so, you know, all those elements kind of went into all those elements, pun unintended,
right,
went into to choosing the track listing. You know, we always like to kind of engage with our fans in that way and get an assessment of what their favorite moments were, what meant most to them, and at least have that be a part of the consideration for the track. So, there was a few different aspects that went into it.
It's interesting because I'm sure you had to leave a few tracks on the cutting room floor, because when you include songs like Kitty Chaser Explosions that clocks in at 26 minutes and Origami, which clocks in at 20 and a half minutes, and even Numbers and Facts is like 18 minutes long. And Skyway's 18 minutes long, and 2020 is 17 minutes long. I'm sure that you guys had to, like, cut it down to these 10 tracks. I mean, that must be hard, too, because there are probably a lot of highlights that you couldn't include just because of the length of the songs that you guys play.
Hey, that's exactly right. And that's kind of the nature of the beast with the jam world, you know? I mean, a lot of, for us being, like, you know, kind of rooted in a little bit of progressive rock from time to time, the song structures themselves are already on the longer side sometimes. And then, you know, you start, you know, getting a little bit exploratory or, you know, diving deep into the jam. And then next thing you know, the clock is ticking, you know, 15, 20 minutes can go by in a flash. And it's tough because a lot of, you know, in this scene, a lot of people really love those exploratory sections. And, you know, we wanted to strike a little bit of a balance of, you know, there's a couple tracks on there that are maybe 10 minutes or less. You know, around 10 or 12, and then there's the ones that go to, you know, maybe 20 plus. But yeah, of course, like, for us, there's so much stuff that we wanted to include, and it's always kind of hard to choose. But we always try to strike a balance, you know, thinking about, like, what, you know, with being the type of band that we are, we touch on a lot of different sounds, and especially on this release. Like, something like Mandela Effect is, like, our first time exploring more, like, electronic, you know, dancey sounds. We haven't really done that previously. You know, versus something like Origami that's more of like a form dance vibe, or even like Josie is a you know, classic Steely Dan song. Like, it's a good mix of things. And I think it was the important thing here was to try to give a nice contrast to some of the different stuff that our band gets into.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I'm glad that you brought Josie up, because Aja is one of my favorite Steely Dan records. It probably is my favorite Steely Dan record. And I know that we have Steely Dan in common. And that you guys play a lot of Steely Dan covers. What made this performance of Josie for you so important that you included it on the compilation?
that was kind of an instance in which a lot of our fans were super stoked about this particular version for one reason or another. For us, we did something kind of interesting with it. We pulled the tempo back about 15 or 20 clicks on a metronome. So it's that we wanted to do something that was felt like a little slower, a little more in the pocket with it, just kind of like our own version of it, so to speak. But there was a cool improv. There was just like a nice funky outro in the jam section, which just like was a really fun moment that everybody was really digging in. It kind of lets our bassist Evan shine. He was taking some really nice turns in that jam and kind of leading it. And it just felt like if we were going to throw a cover on there, we're huge Steely Dan fans. We like showing that side of our band, especially as, being in the jam scene. It's not as common, as something like The Dead or, Talking Heads or, any of the, commonly covered bands within the jam scene. And, we wanted to kind of pay tribute to one of our favorite bands and a fun version that we all liked from a night of good fun in Colorado.
I love it. It's interesting that you brought up bass player because he is relatively new to the band, right? The drummer's new. The drummer. Sorry, I apologize.
And I guess he is new at this point. It's 3 years.
Right.
Time is flying by on that. But yeah, Rob's about to turn his corner on 3 years. And Evan's been here since day one.
It's amazing how quickly time flies. Like I literally remember talking to you when we first launched the podcast, and that was 2.5 years ago already. And time is flying by, I guess. So that's great. The other thing too is that Element Part 3 works as a bit of a marketing ploy, because if people want to hear more of that tour, they can certainly go to nugs.net and get more shows. How important is it for you guys to be able to release, full shows on Nugs so that the fans who aren't, traveling to Colorado or Wisconsin with you or, some of your hometown fans who, don't leave Buffalo. How important is it for you guys to offer up those live shows for people to get the aqueous sound wherever they are?
I think it's huge, man. I think there's a few levels to it too, because for fans, they can kind of follow along with the tour and see what we're up to every night and kind of like follow along with the action. But on the other side of it, I think having recorded shows out every night kind of holds us to the fire to make sure the performances are listenable every time, right. Like, because I think the nature of an improvisation based act is that like there's going to be nights that are amazing when you're taking the risk and it's just working, and there's going to be nights where it just doesn't land the same way that you wanted to, or you played something that just a version that you weren't happy about, or you missed a few notes or something like that. And I think having those shows, knowing that those are going up every night, I feel like it tightens the band up quite a bit, because you don't want to put shows out there that you're having a rough night. I think that there's just that aspect of it has been awesome, for us to try to step our game up. And it's so much fun for the fans to get to hear what we're doing every night. And I think it's most incentive for us to keep it very fresh and always be like putting new covers in and putting new music in and changing the set list stuff. I think it's amazing all the way around. We're so stoked to be on Nugs.
How much editing or how much going back before you submit your stuff to nugs.net do you guys do? Or is it a case of, well, that was the show, and so press record and upload it and away we go? Or do you guys actually tinker with stuff after a show?
No, I mean, so literally that does not happen. It can't really. I mean, I guess it can happen, but no, it doesn't. Basically, what the scenario is it's a multi-track recording. It just records exactly what we played, warts and all. And then our front of house engineer Ryan Brest will mix the show, so he'll make sure all the levels of all the different instruments are exactly right. We're as close to exactly right as we can be, and then I'll upload it. A lot of times we're going out and doing, 4 weeks or 5 weeks worth of shows, playing sometimes five, 6 nights a week. And so for him, it's like there's not even time, there would not even be time to go and fix little mistakes and stuff, because that would mean like re-recording, it just doesn't work like that. So yeah, for us, like, we just have to pray to God we played really good that night, every night. And that's kind of what I mean. I think that accountability of musicians is a really healthy thing. And I think it really has made us, really clean up and be a much tighter band than we were a few years ago.
It actually gives the fans a more genuine and authentic look, too, at how you guys are playing, so that, yeah, you know, they can be psyched about seeing you if they have the chance to. Was Element Part 3, did you guys remix some of that stuff or listen back to some of that stuff? Or again, was it just a case of...
No, yes. Yeah, it was the same exact scenario. We just spent a little more time on the mixes. You know,
right.
Like we would like just make sure that the levels, you know, maybe dial them a little bit more. But yeah, it's recorded. I mean, that's just it's what it is. And especially because a lot of times there's tapers in the audience, too. And I would never want there to be a moment where, like, people have listened to an audience recording and then listened to ours and it was different. You know, like, I don't think that's a genuine thing to do as a musician. I think, like, the nature of the improv music is that, you know, if there's just going to be some notes sometimes that you're not stoked about, or like a jam that didn't go where you wanted to, but then the other side, like, when you capture magic, it's amazing. I think that's why we're all drawn to this scene, you know?
A lot of people had 2018 as the year that you guys grew up in the jam band scene. And I know that a lot of people had you on their year-end list as one of the top jam bands on the scene. You know, I don't want to say up-and-comer because that sounds so silly, but 2018 was a really important year for you guys in terms of headlining your own tour, in terms of really playing a lot of places that you hadn't played yet. And we'll get to some other places that you're playing on this tour that you haven't played yet. But do you guys collectively feel that 2018 was kind of a larger coming out party for the band?
In every single way, you know, I mean, we're here, you know, kind of seeing the results of a lot of years of hard work and of trying to, you know, dial in our sound and our message and our, and you know, and we're basically constantly working to grow and improve on every facet of our band, you know, from, you know, as something simplistic as just like working on our craft all the time and trying to write better songs, and then also investing in the infrastructure and, you know, like upping our production and just thinking about every little, you know, aspect of what goes into putting out a performance, you know. And for us, we take it really seriously, and it was awesome this year to see people connecting more than we'd ever seen with our music and seeing bigger crowds coming out, and sometimes places we'd never been before. You know, we did a whole tour in the Southeast and have like great receptive crowds, like people singing our lyrics, and it's so exciting for us. We've definitely, you know, taken note of these changes. And if anything, it's just inspired us even more to just push as hard as we can right now. And it's really exciting because we just put that record out, but we're already writing a ton of music right now again. So, you know, the fire is burning really, really nicely at the moment.
That's great. Well, we love that there's no new music. We, of course, won't see it anytime soon because you guys are on the road for what seems like most of February, March, and a little bit of April, and then it's festival season already. So there isn't a lot of downtime for you guys. What is exciting about this tour, I suppose, is that you're heading to California, and I don't think you guys have been out that way yet, right?
No, yeah, this is a huge tour for us. This is something I've been basically dreaming about since I was a kid. Like, you know, since the band started, like, I've always wanted to go all the way west, you know, and dream. And so, you know, to come out here, and we're doing a co-headlining tour with Big Something, where we're alternating sets every night, which we close with the night out, and we're only three nights in, and it's already been, like, amazing. Like, those guys are so cool, and they're a great band, and we get along super well. And both bands are playing great, you know, right out of the gate. And for us, you know, to go to some of these new markets, you know, every time we have announced a tour in the past few years, we've seen a lot of comments of people being like, oh, you know, come to San Francisco, come to LA, come to Portland, come to, you know, Seattle, and so on and so on. And that it was always so cool for us to see that people that far away even were, we were on the radar. And that's like, we had a sense that that had been growing a little bit more. And we've wanted to wait till we were in the right position, you know, to make a move like this to where we could go out and feel that it was the right time to try to capitalize on some of that buzz that was going on out there. And, you know, recently for me, I have just visited California for the first time and completely fell in love. So I am extremely excited to work our way out there on this tour. And all the other things, you know, hitting Texas for the, you know, Texas for the first time and hitting New Orleans, and right, there's just so much to look forward to.
Big Something is kind of a band that's had a similar trajectory to you guys, and not somebody that I necessarily would have paired with Aqueous. How are you guys getting along? I know it's only been three shows, but are you guys getting along? And is this idea of switching up who opens and what have you, is that working out nicely for the two bands?
Yeah, I think that right now, I mean, we've known them for a few years, actually, going all the way back to 2014. When we were kind of building our thing in Buffalo, we did a residency at Nietzsche's, which is like a really small club that, you know, has some history. Like, Fish played there back in the day, and it was like a maybe 300-person club, and that was where we cut our teeth. But we had Big Something as support, like, all the way back then, and we did, like, a gig trade with them in 2014. So we've known them since then, and have like played their festival, the Big What, and they've done like a lot of sit-ins with each other, and there's always been a mutual, you know, respect between the two camps. And I think that, you know, while their approach to their music is a little bit different than ours, their work ethic is very similar, and I think that we're very similar kinds of people. They're like the North Carolina version of,
right,
you know, of our band in my mind, like as far as how they, you know, I see them like rehearsing all the time and writing new music and working on their set list. Just like you can tell bands that work super hard, and they are absolutely one of them. And their music's great. Like, I think that they write like really concise, hooky songs. And, you know, they're actually just even last night, it was only the third gig on the tour, but we had Andy Frasco come sit in, and we had Casey from Big Something get up with us too. And we're already talking about collaborating on some covers and collaborating on even writing together. And it's, you know, I honestly don't, I feel like for all the tours that we've done with other bands, like, it's been a very quick connection, you know, to be in closer quarters with them and their team, and it's very exciting.
And when you do come back out east, well, first of all, please say hi to Nick for us from Big Something, because he's been on the show and we're big fans of what they do. When you come back east, though, what's exciting is that you will be supporting Turquoise for a bunch of dates in April, and that can only mean that the Turquoise Horns will be hopefully joining you guys on stage, and that's always a treat, right?
Absolutely, yeah, because we had them on the record too. You know, they did Way to the Word with us. We revamped it. They recorded that with us, and you know, we've had them, you know, do a couple of appearances with us at Peach Music Festival too. And I think hopefully, you know, sharing the stage in that capacity will bring them out. You know, a couple of them. Those guys are amazing.
It's interesting right now in the jam band scene that there are bands that, you know, the three of you, Big Something, Aqueous, and Turquoise, have such completely different sounds. You all get along as, you know, touring mates or on stage performers together or what have you. But also your fans don't really care that the music is so different, one band to another. And is that because you think people are used to seeing you guys in a festival setting, or what do you think that you can attribute that to?
I like to think that there's a sense of open-mindedness within this music community that is really rare in almost any other genre. And I think that the word jam band is a total spectrum these days. Like, I think that there was a point where it was associated mostly with the Dead, and then, you know, with Fish kind of thereafter. And I think now it's just like the floodgates are completely wide open. And I think like you brought up with the festivals, I think that can be was probably a contributing factor where people could like experience all these different types of music in one place. And that might have opened the floodgates for people being, you know, a little bit more open-minded. But I don't know. I think that the whole jam band world to me, like, is just like the concept of freedom of expression and freedom to be who you are. And that totally translates to the music and the open-mindedness that people seem to wrap themselves around in the community. I think kind of happens with the band as well. And I think it's really freeing as a musician.
You guys are on the road, so I won't keep you too much longer. Continued success, man. You know that we, not too far away, up the road a little bit from your hometown, are rallying for you and watching you and are so pleased by the rise. So continued success, dude. And and we'll catch you on the road sometime in the near future, all right? We won't invite you back to Toronto because apparently our hydro isn't good enough for you guys.
I appreciate you having me on, Ira.
All right. Take care. Be well, okay?
Thanks, buddy.
Mike has always been very available to us, and certainly this chat was no exception. We appreciate not only the passion and playing that Mike and the band bring forward, but also their insights on the scene and their rise within it. You'll never meet nicer guys, and we're thrilled to watch the growth. For more on Element 3, Color Wheel, tour dates, and more, visit aqueousband.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to Josie, an absolutely great cover of the Steely Dan song from my favorite Steely Dan record, Aja, performed December 6th, 2018 in Frisco, Colorado.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Subscribe to our newsletter today at thesoundpodcast.com/subscribe. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.